Hello everyone, Sam McClary here, editor of EG, and welcome to the EG Property Podcast. This episode has been recorded as part of our Future of Cambridge event, and in this conversation I'm talking with Orestes Georgiou, Development Director of Biomed Realty. Biomed Realty is part of the Blackstone portfolio of companies and owns more than 11 million square feet of life sciences real estate around the world, including, of course, in Cambridge. In this conversation, we talk about the role of the life sciences industry in Cambridge, how it has a role to play in helping solve Cambridge's inequality problem, and just how resilient the industry and Cambridge has shown itself to be throughout the coronavirus pandemic. And now for that familiar disclaimer. This podcast was recorded via Teams, so the audio quality may not be as crystal clear as you've come to expect from an EG podcast production. The content quality, however, will, as always, be of top-notch quality. Enjoy. So, Orestes, we are here today to talk about the life sciences sector. You are from Biomed Realty. You're present in Cambridge, of course, and we've heard some plans for growth as well of the business. I'm just really keen to hear from you as someone in that industry that the general public is probably hearing a lot more about now. We certainly see in the national press life sciences talked about much more. I'd be keen to know from you what that newfound insight into life sciences means from a real estate perspective, and probably also from a Cambridge perspective. Is it really putting Cambridge on the map as somewhere that is not just about universities, it's about R&D and life sciences?
Sure, yes, absolutely. Thank you, Samantha. That's exactly the case. Obviously, you know, for us as a business at Biomed Realty, we've been operating in this field for almost 20 years now, and you know, having seen the growth in a number of our core markets over that period of time. You know, Cambridge is a market that we've entered into in 2012, acquiring Granta Park at the time, and have since sort of grown our portfolio in this market. It's certainly one of the what we regard as one of the core markets globally in terms of the R&D sector. And as a business, we always look at the fundamentals and the sort of the macro side in terms of where we end up investing and growing our platform. Obviously, Cambridge you know, is underpinned by the world-leading academic institutions. You know, you've got a world-class university, you've got a number of other institutions, and then, you know, over the most recent years, certainly the last 30 years, what we've seen is that sort of growth in the business sector as well. Most recently, obviously, with a number of big names, global names coming into the market, with AstraZeneca in 2014, you know, more recently, sort of the likes of Amgen, Illumina, Gilead, sort of, you know, growing. And it's really the sort of the growth story of Cambridge over a number of years that has made us a sort of a huge advocate, if you like, in this market in particular. And that sort of growth has been translated into more real estate. Certainly, we've seen sort of the organic growth of a number of locations within the Cambridge market, both in the city centre, but also on the various parks. You know, you've got Cambridge Science Park, Granta Park, Babraham, you've got the Genome Campus, you know, and those have grown over that period of time quite significantly. And we believe that growth will continue, you know, as the R&D, if you like, drive keeps growing in Cambridge in particular.
And that growth, as you say, has come, and there's so much more growth in the future, isn't there? Particularly given this moment in time when there's so much work going into, you know, trying to find a vaccine and the number of brains that we need to be doing that. And then when when we do find that vaccine, then we have this whole period of, well, we need to produce it now. So the demand for space from businesses like yourself, and the demand on Cambridge and other sort of centres of excellence to deliver that, it's going to be something quite colossal, isn't it?
Yes, I think absolutely. You know, you will see more requirement in that sense. I think what we have seen, certainly from our standpoint, with a number of our tenants, you know, I think it's more than 32 now in number that have been involved, you know, in the sort of COVID field in some shape or form. Obviously, the vaccine is a very important part, but also on the testing side, you know, the sort of the treatment side, you know, as much as also the sequencing side, you know, in understanding more about the nature of the virus itself. So all that sort of, you know, if you like, framework has certainly helped in a way to underpin the strength of places like Cambridge, you know, put them on the map as to what actually they can do and how quickly they can respond, given the know-how and the ecosystem that is already in place. So absolutely, you know, we will see more of that, I think, in the future.
And do you see growth outside of the arc as well? I guess, you know, we talk a lot about Oxford and Cambridge and Milton Keynes, but if this is a, you know, a real growth sector of the market from a real estate point of view, and we know it, you know, it's obviously huge in the States, where you're a massive player as well. Could you see yourselves looking, you know, there are other places in the UK that could work, that have the talent and the requirement that would make you guys look to those for investments?
I think that's a possibility. Obviously, for the time being, we're focused in sort of, you know, growing in our core markets, but I wouldn't say no to other opportunities, you know, as other geographies, if you like, come to the forefront. I think the other thing to note perhaps is that, you know, we are involved in a sort of particular part of the sector, but there is certainly growth in other elements. You know, there is talk about manufacturing facilities, you know, to capitalize on some of the R&D that is being undertaken in the sort of core markets, and that could well be, you know, translated into other areas, you know, within the wider sort of UK framework, if you like.
Excellent. And I'm sure, you know, you probably don't want to give away too many reasons for competitors to come into the market. But there, for you, the life sciences market as a sort of safe, maybe real estate investment, the attractions for you, and, you know, sort of having the might of Blackstone, what is it that is the, you know, sort of that golden moment that says, you know, this is a real area of growth, this is where, you know, this is a new part of the real estate investment sphere?
Well, again, you know, we look at it from a more sort of fundamentals perspective, you know, in terms of choosing locations, you know, what the story has been so far, you know, what the underpinnings are in each geography that we explore. I think in terms of the business itself, it's all about relationships, you know, and building relationships with tenants. And that's very much what we drive, the ability to adapt our growing portfolio and platform. You know, that's the other very important thing, that we are not just a business that operates, you know, buildings individually. It's an integrated platform where we offer more than one service. You know, we do a lot of the various disciplines in-house, whether it's development, leasing, facilities management, operation, which gives enough, you know, comfort, if you like, to our tenant base to help grow that relationship from a very early stage. You know, we've done that on various sort of markets that we operate in, you know, to scale up space. And most recently in Cambridge, we've invested at Babraham Research Campus, where we provide scale-up space for growing businesses, all the way up to the more established companies. You know, so it's that sort of full spectrum, if you like, of the ability to offer solutions as businesses grow in the field.
And that's really important in Cambridge, isn't it? Because one of the big issues with Cambridge is that it has this I'm going to use the word ridiculous because I think it is ridiculous, but this ridiculous inequality in this beautiful city, which, you know, outsiders probably think of it as hugely affluent, which parts of it are, but then you go across town and it's very, very different. So being a sort of solutions provider and creating space for startups and new jobs and talent to come in, it is really important. Do you see that as something that the biomed takes very seriously and takes some responsibility, I suppose, for making sure that there is appropriate talent being attracted to Cambridge?
Absolutely, that is one of the, you know, the core themes, if you like, that we believe in the sector and how we help, you know, sort of BA. Party that helps, you know, in the growth story. That's why we have focused, you know, across the board in our offering, you know, not just the sort of the established pharma companies, of which, you know, Cambridge has got a number of, but also trying to provide solutions in real estate terms for growing businesses, you know, so a lot of the spin outs coming out of the university, you know, that then grow and require more space is really sort of plugging that gap, if you like, in the market and providing them with that sort of runway to grow within a relationship that understands their needs and also is able to adapt. You know, that's another very important element on growing demand and, you know, sort of changing circumstances within the business itself, which is where our operations and facilities teams can come in very quickly and help change that. In terms of talent itself, you know, that is very, you know, important as well. You've got circa 17,000 professionals in the Cambridge market, you know, working in the life science field, which is, you know, a significant, obviously, number in its own right. But also businesses that come to, you know, Cambridge and or come out of Cambridge, you know, from a spin-out perspective, are looking to attract and retain more talent. And the question we ask ourselves a lot of the times when we look at new opportunities and also how we grow or adapt our properties is how do we secure that? And certainly, you know, the investment that we've, you know, sort of undertaken in the last few years, you know, you look at things at Granta Park, we've invested in a new amenities building a couple of years ago. That's 40,000 square feet of not just the gym space, but, you know, you've got the full offering, you know, in terms of well-being. There's, you know, the sort of health provision as well on site. There is daycare centres, conference centres. We provide, you know, bus services, you know, that take our staff, you know, in and out of city centres, you know, investing with the local community on other initiatives like, you know, cycle paths and, you know, providing an environment effectively that helps attract and retain the talent is very important. And it's very much part and parcel of what we do, I think, in the market as well.
And I guess that's important, isn't it, from a perception point of view as well, that anyone who sets up shop in a place wants to be viewed as a value add, I suppose, for want of a better phrase, to that area. So you know, I hope and I assume that's something that for biomed you take seriously, and you want Cambridge to see you as a provider.
Yes, and I would say that's the same in all our sort of core markets. You know, if you look at Cambridge, you know, we've invested for the first time in 2012. We've seen sort of you know, grown the platform in the last sort of seven to 8 years. We've almost doubled our presence in the Cambridge market, and we are, you know, a long-term investor. That's what we do in all our geographies, and the, you know, the ability to grow and provide solutions and you know, be seen as a local player with a long-term horizon, you know, alongside the other institutions that we come to complement in the ecosystem is very important to us. Mm-hmm. And that then translates obviously to the relationships with our tenant base, which again is part of the you know, the ecosystem as well.
Fantastic. And let's take a moment to talk about, I guess, the physical bricks and mortar, because one of the really interesting conversations that I've been having around Cambridge in a sort of COVID era has been how it's been a city that largely didn't shut down during lockdown, because it had the real estate already that was kind of set up for COVID before COVID was a word that we used in our daily language, that because of the level of R&D space and innovation space, there were already measures in place to make buildings safe. And couple that with the role that many of the businesses have in Cambridge of working on solutions for this current problem and many others, it kind of had to keep going, keep calm and carry on, I suppose. For you and your assets, is that, does that ring true too, or do you look at them and think, well, we need to, you know, there's lessons we can learn, and then maybe there will be adaptations we will take?
I think you're right in terms of the resilience and of the performance of the assets in the first instance. You know, the way they were originally sort of set up are to cater for the life science sector, and you know, by default, in many respects, they accommodate for, you know, things like higher air changes, you know, sort of the circulation again is designed, in terms of the flows that are required for the industry that we provide for. There's obviously always lessons learned and always things that we try to do better and, you know, try to adapt and provide that flexibility for not just, you know, changing tenant needs, but also changing market needs and how we end up responding to those. But I think the important point as well that you made about the resilience of the Cambridge market is astonishing. And it's sort of, you know, again, something that we've seen in this current climate. And I think it's a, you know, great sort of trait of the market itself. You know, the ability to adapt very quickly and respond to changing circumstances is a great thing.
Yeah, and resilience, we all need resilience to more than just this current moment in time, don't we? And, you know, when COVID, if COVID does pass, we have Brexit looming, and there will no doubt be other crises, if we're calling Brexit a crisis, I just did. But do you see, if we see Cambridge as a really resilient place, do you see any of those things really affecting investment into Cambridge and its attractiveness to talent, to business, to investment?
I think part of the attraction of Cambridge and other markets, you know, that have similar characteristics is the resilience over the course of time. And obviously, you know, if you look at Cambridge, you know, for a number of centuries, you know, the university has been around. Obviously, they've seen a number of other significant events over the history, over the time. But it has, you know, sustained, and it has been extremely resilient. And that's exactly the story that we, if you like, are focused on, is the sort of the long term horizon and again the fundamentals, you know, the requirements, if you like, from a more macro perspective, and how that then translates into what Cambridge can do to address those needs, you know, in a growing setting, you know, because there's always going to be change, whether it's sort of in a more sort of focused period of time or over the, you know, course of, you know, if you're looking at years or decades. And I think we have certainly been in this industry for close to 20 years now. We've seen a number of, you know, different events, but the fundamentals over the course of time, if you like, have been very strong. And I don't see that changing, certainly in Cambridge, you know, in years to come. I think there is certainly that know-how, that intellect, you know, that Cambridge brings to the table that is very hard to replicate in many respects, certainly within a certain, you know, moment in time. You know, it has taken a long time to get to this stage, and that can only, I think, help with the growth story moving forward. So we're fairly sort of optimistic, if you like, in that sense about the future of Cambridge.
You just about took my final question to round us up there, which was how do you feel about the future of Cambridge? But we'll build on that a little bit. You're too good. We'll build on that a little bit in terms of, I guess, where you'd like to see the Cambridge market getting to, and also coupled to that, what you see as the ideal future, if there is such a thing, the ideal future for the life sciences sector as well, and the impact that could have on the UK for its sort of ability to build its way out of an economic crisis, and just from an attractiveness perspective as well.
Sure. Well, I think certainly, you know, if you look at, you know, the UK's strengths, and, you know, in particular, if we're talking about our industry, the strengths that you can see manifested in markets like Cambridge, you know, the R&D element, you know, the technology element are very, very strong drivers. And I think that will continue being the case in years to come. We certainly very much see, for example, the investment both from the private sector, and we've seen significant investment in fundraising through our tenant base over the last few years, you know, in Cambridge. But also from a national perspective, you know, the UK government spending in health and R&D over the last, you know, few years has been close to 3 billion. That's the sort of second in the world and first, you know, across Europe, which is a very strong driver. I think that will only continue in that sense. You know, if you look at sort of the industrial strategy and the sort of the core drivers that the government and generally the nation is looking to promote, certainly R&D, you know, is one of the core strengths, I think, and we will see that translating, I think, into more growth in markets such as Cambridge in years ahead. So we're fairly optimistic about the future, and I think that will, you know, hopefully translate into more growth for Cambridge and its economy.
Orestes, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your insights. It's been really, really interesting to hear your views on Cambridge and the market.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the EG Property Podcast. And don't forget, if you want to keep up with all the latest news, views, analysis and research that the EG Group has to provide, sign up to all of our property podcasts and subscribe to Radius Data Exchange for unlimited access to all of our content and comprehensive commercial data real estate.